Okay, so we're holding here Vatar Oisai Kitoiv Ma'oid. So it says about Moshe Rabbeinu that when he was born, Vatar Oisai Kitoiv Ma'oid. So it says, I'll read it inside the Agarata. It's Mem in the Agarata. Tanya, Reb Meir Oimet Toiv Shmoy. His name was Toiv. Reb Yudah says Tuvia Shmoy. Reb Nechemya says Hogun Lenevius. And also, everyone's trying to explain what does Toiv mean over here. What's the context of the Toiv? So he says either his name was Toiv or his name was Tuvia, or he was Roy to Nevius. Because it's very hard to understand what is the Toiv you could possibly see in a little infant. So either Vatara Siki Toivu, his name is Toiv or Tuvia, which is kind of strange. Reb Nechemya says he saw in him that he's Hogun Lenevius. Achir Marmin Noilat Shumol, and some say it's Noilat Shumohu. Vachachomi Marmin Bishah. And Moshe smaller called Bais Oira, Sivach Vatar Siki Toiv, and Silver Kemsar Kitoiv. So those are a few shitas about what is the word Toiv. What did she see then that's Toiv? So the morale is going to explain all of these different inyanim. Vatar Siki Toiv, Pirish, Kiladas Rebmea Toiv Shmoi, Boloima, Kimoisha Beis Haldosa Hoya Toiv. Vizenema al Shahoy Mitzias Toiv Gomo, Vizenema Shoy Toiv Mitzad Gufoy. So, what we're trying to say is, how can you tell when a child is born, there is no, there's nothing about him that the word Tova Ra could apply to. It is no Bechira really, there's nothing being done. So, he says it means the Guf was Sholem in a way that it was very ruchni. Lemoshel, one of the things that determines from the get-go how ruchnistic we are, how chumris we are, is how coarse our guf is. A person who's very, very physical and will not be ruchni from the get-go and is going to have to struggle and so on. A person who's very refined is going to be much more ruchni, and there's going to be a lot more, you know, he's going to go a lot further. So the toiv mitzad the guf, I don't think it means to say that it was physically in good shape and healthy, but rather it was muchen for toiv mitzad its physical self. Ve oledas reb Yehuda tov yeshmoi pirish shayadovik b'moishe toiv sheinyan loyki. Moishe had toiv that came from outside him, and that is Hashem's Tov. In other words, he already was connected to the Tov Hashem. Lekach nikra tuvia pirush shem mischa b'shem ko b'tuv shel Moshe, atshikim shem tuvia shem meshuta b'shmoi shem ko shatov shel in eloiki. So this Tov meant it was connected to Tov. Now, so he explains. V'zeh hefesh yesh bein toiv and tuvia, ki toiv ratzayim she'etzim shloim toiv mitzad guf v'chaim. Toiv without tuvia means that the body and its chaimer is good. V'le tuvia ma'ali yaseir shat toiv in eloiki dovik boi atzim shtazav v'shem ka. V'hovin v'ram elamoid. So let's try a little bit. So first of all, on the first point of it, tov and ra really don't have any meaning unless we associate with something else. When we say something is good or bad, as absolute value, doesn't mean anything. Good has to be good for what? There's a wood that might be good for building and lousy for firewood, and there might be wood that's great for firewood and lousy to build with. So when I say something is good, I can never say it absolute. I always have to say it as good for something. So the only toiv that we can say in absolute sense means connected to Ribbono Shel Olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being toiv in the absolute sense of it, and our moral evaluations of Tov and Ra are all descriptions of the Ribbono Shel Olam's, you know, how close we are and how much we're tapped into Ribbono Shel Olam, those in Yonam of Tov and Ra will be will mean how much is this identified with Ribbono Shel Olam. The Rav Moshe Shapiro would always say that the word Tov comes from like a Tovus Aneris, which means the wick can draw, versus Ra, which means sliced up, disconnected, disjunct. That's how we describe Tov and Ra. But be it as it may, both of them talk about some sort of shaykhis to a divine. So when we say that it was Tov without Tavia, we say that the guf was ra'ui for being shaykh to Barsham. It's just like if a person has a ship vessel and he says that this ship vessel is seaworthy, it doesn't mean it's swimming. It doesn't mean it's going anywhere. It could be in on the dry dock. It could be in his house, his garage. But I say it's seaworthy means it is royu to go to the sea. So a person who is toiv also means that he is worthy of having that connection. So one meaning was that it was worthy of the chibur. Tovia means there already was some sort of element of connection to Rebbe Shalom. That is that's what he says here. And then he doesn't quite add much more over here. And therefore he does add in the Ksavyad, he adds quite a bit that sort of, I think, elucidates. The Ksavyad is on Gevuras, and therefore he says like this. I'll read it. It's in the whatchamacallit, Ksavyad edition of the Maral. Because tamik teida. The closer something is to the source of it. So he says, the closer something is to the source of it, like the Malachim and Klal Yisrael, Shmoy Meshuta Behem, HaKadosh Baruch whose name is directly associated with them. In other words, when something has a Kadosh Baruch Hu's name appended to it, it means that it is associated with him. L'mashal, I'll take a very simple, when I say this is Yankel's car, so I'm saying this car is associated with Yankel. When I say this is Shiftei Ka, I mean, we're not talking about ownership, we're talking about closeness. So this is something which is very close to Baruch Shalom. Ki mekablim t'chila shmei yisparach. It means Hashem's name is immediately appended to them. Because tovin oid teida loma dovak by Shem ka dafka. Why dafka Shem ka? So we're saying that the name Yud Kei is the name with which HaKadosh Baruch Hu associates things in this world that are toiv. So ka is a variation of Yud Kei Vav Kei. Yud Kei ki beka Hashem tzur elamim. It's one of the Shemes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he's going to explain why the Shem Yud Kei Dafka. Ki atoiv hu emtsoi hamimutza bein shnei advarim. Lekach hu toiv. Lefi shememutza shadvarim bein enoite l'shem katse. V'shem ko hu mecha b'shtei dvarim yachad, kashe tovin b'soid shem ko, shem shtei oisis Hashem hamischabrim b'koil echod loima ko. Or lefi koch yosat payit b'yotzen esur, and he brings a place where it says something like that. And then he's going to explain Moshe's like that. Let's leave that a minute, and let's talk about it in the bigger picture. The Gemara says the word HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is Yud Kei Vav Kei. The one of the elementary visualizations of that name is Yud Kei is a source. It's like HaKadosh Baruch Hu's paradigm. Vav is the way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu connects it with the world down here. And the last hey is our attempt to emulate that Yud Kei. So Yud Kei in itself is sort of
the snapshot of what's wanted. Yudke Vavke is how that happens and comes to us. That's, I guess, a fairly simplified version of how it works in the meaning of Ka and Yudke Vavke. The Yud and the He are two letters that are opposite in many ways. One is, Chazal say the Yud is, Akashbar created Olam Haba with a Yud, and a He, he created Olam Hazeh. The reason is the Yud represents the Dat. The Yud represents a point. No, it's nothing but a point. So the Gemara says, because very few people make it there, it's a place that's ma'at and tzaddikim and ma'at and so on. So the Yud is something which is very spiritual. It almost non-existent. All you can say about it is, you can't say more than that. A Yud does not have a shear. A dot of ink serves as a Yud on a Sefer Torah. Hey is the broadest letter. It sort of takes up all sides. It's a full letter. It also represents Dalet with a dot in it. In other words, Dalet meaning the four different directions and the entirety of the world. Like we say, Dalet Kanfos Ha'aretz. Four is the ultimate in spreading out on a surface. So a hey is a Dalet with a dot in it. So Yud and Hey represent two polar opposites in terms of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's manifestation. One. Two. Yud and the Hey represent also Chesed and Din in a very, very different, in a very high level. Not quite using that terminology, but Yud and Hey represent one is close to what we would call chesed, one is what we would call din. They're close to it. So those are polar opposites. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is never smaller than Yud Kei. A Yud is not Hashem's name and a He is not Hashem's name. And that's why people make a mistake when they always dash about the two Yuds. Two Yuds is a printer's device. The He with the apostrophe is a printer's device. It's what we use not to say Shem Hashem. But the Yud and the He are inseparable. A Yud alone is not Kaddish. A He alone is not a Kaddish. A Yud and a He are a Shem of Kaddish Baruch Hu, and it's Kaddish. So why a Yud and a He? The answer is, I guess it's like in calculus, you try to describe a certain point, and you say, I can't define this point. But I can always define it by going from two different sides to get to this point. As you go from here to here, the point that is after this and before this is the point we're looking for, the limit, as they call it, and so on. It's a never-ending narrowing of two things and the point in the middle. So I always see it as the point in the middle between the two. So when we speak, many times we've spoken about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's different Hagas called Spheres, Mamoras, whatever you want to call it, as diverse as they are, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always that point of singularity that is in the middle. It's the point that is neither here nor there, but includes both the same. So Yud and He are the two extremes of Rebbe Shlomo Hanhagas and Giluyim. Olam Haba means the most spiritual and the most restrictive of all Hanhagas. That's why it's a Yud. It says not many people make it there. So it means it is the point of absolute perfection vis-a-vis the point, hey, is the scope of the absolute inclusiveness. The two polar Hanhagas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu together add up to our first name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Anything less than that is a distortion. So the Maral points out, this is the point that the Maral takes out from here, is that the name of Ka represents a point between two extreme points, between two ktsavas. The ultimate of Toiv is that nekuda that sort of keeps going in between the opposite sides. So the Maral says over here, Kilakahu Toiv, I'll read the lines. Lefishu memutza, this is from the Ksav Yad. Lefishu memutza ben shnei advarim, ven enoite l'shem katzeh. Because it is exactly in the middle and doesn't go to any katzeh. Shem asheh kohu mecha b'shnei dvarim yachad, kasheh tovin besoit shem koh, shem shtei oisis Hashem eschab mekoil echad. Loima koh. V'hovin dovazeh. So koh is a syllable. It's one syllable. And the two letters of the Shem Hashem become one syllable, and that's that. So he says, and that's why Lekach Nitoisiv Nitvasiv B'Shem Tov Yizeh Hashem Mipnei Shem Moishu Atoiv Hashem Tzoy Hashem Noite Shem Katzeh V'Kol Kach Hoi Goy V'Boi Atoiv Hashem Dover Tov Yizeh Shem Kosh V'Adoin Atoiv. So the Toiv of Moishu Rabbeinu specifically included this nekuda where he would be the it would be the exact balance between the different inyanim. Now Moshe Rabbeinu, as the Nois HaTorah spoken about this, that was possibly his most important midah. Torah is something in its klolius that gives every part its due and how much and what's right. In this case, all of Torah is balancing different inyanim in different cases. What's, you know, what's teicha, what's, in what case you say this, what case you say that. So Moshe Rabbeinu's toiv wasn't just a generic toiv, it was very specific as being part of that. That's what he says over here in the Chiddush HaGadlus, which, by the way, the Chiddush HaGadlus seems almost to be copy Sayyar Gevuras. The other piece I read to you was in Ksav Yad that never made it into Gevuras for whatever reason. It looks like a first draft or so on. So he says, I guess he's being meramez on this point, why Yud Kei is the Toiv that's coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Toiv of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is exactly this point over here. So he adds this point over here about Ruach HaKodesh. I'd like to, so Ruach HaKodesh itself as being above it all is means as follows. The I'll read a line or two from his. He says the I will show you Muchan Levua Lios Imoy Koyach Kodesh Nivdal Legamri. So the Muchan Levua means as follows. When a person has a guf, and this guf can be extremely amenable to a ruchnistic, to have ruchnis on him, that's fine. It has a limit. It's a guf. That's all it is. When he's davuk, and it's only royal, he's davuk in Shem Hashem means that there's something about this guf that actually expresses, from the get-go, expresses Ruchnius and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nevuah means, it says the Marshal, all Nevi'im were bottle. When they said Nevuah, their guf sort of fell apart. The voice that came from them, the voice that they heard, whatever it was, meant that to some point, they became a carrier for Ruach Hashem. for Ruach HaKodesh. So the toiv that they could express that way goes beyond any toiv that they as people could express. As people, the guf is limited, and even if a person has a very, very good guf, fine, that's nice, but it's limited. When a person becomes a platform for nevuah, for HaKodesh, that means it goes beyond. And then he says, so that's nevuah. V'zeh ma'ashem shomuchon shetiyah levuah HaKodesh, kachoysev nechem yahogim lenevuah, kimuchav yisal shom HaKodesh Allah. It meant she saw the potential for nevuah on him, which would make him much more toiv than any toiv he as a human being could express. So Lamashal, if I'm a wonderful person and I do the best I could be, it still is limited. If I'm able to give over when I could become a Navi means somewhere along the line my guf sort of disappears a bit and only a Kodesh Baruch Hu comes out. So he speaks over here about Mila, and what he says basically is that the Mila, it's to be born a Mohul means that the person's guf, it's not just amenable for Ruchnius, but the guf comes from someplace else. In other words, a physical guf has arla. That's what a physical guf is, that's what it's meant to have, and so on. When a person takes the mila off, he's bettering it, the guf. When a person is noilad mohul, where does it come from? In other words, what is it, you know, where does a guf that's mol come from? Mila is you know, to be mol is a ruchniistic, it's meaningful only ruchniistic context. So that means that the person's guf itself comes from a place beyond the physical. It's not constructed as a physical entity with the ability to have ruchnis on it, but something in the very guf itself comes from the beyond. It comes from the shmini, like it says over here that everything that's shmini is so on. So all of these in Yanim, each one is expressing that he's more of a ruchnistic being. Now the Moral adds, I am going to add one more hezba as to the five things over here and why we have machlokes about five different things. They're in ascending order. They're not just random five things. Tuvia nischaba b'toyv Hashem ka, hagel nevua ishay shchinim dabras imoy, v'chiluk zeh that ka is in eloiki and shchina is more, noilad mohul, v'chomer ishasma b'is oyer shay davik b'shem yuchud yisuv kol neviim, zivah el Avram Yitzchak Yaakov and so on. The Moshe Beni mistabe b'shem yuchud aspakal yameiro kachvel b'is oyer. So basically, he's being meramis over here that Moshe, the different dargis, let's see again if I can pluck out a sentence over here, because he does talk a lot. He doesn't add that much more over here. Let me just see if it has, yes. So basically, the list of five items is speaking about the different letters in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. Yud Kei Vav Kei, and there's the Kutz of the Yud, are seen as being... the different hanhagas of Hashem Baruch Hu, different spheres, and each one is going up one until the finally he speaks about Moshe Rabbeinu being able to have a Svakdari Meira. He's basically, what he's doing is lining up these five things, milamata lamala. In other words, it starts with the bottom, meaning that the bottom hay in that sense, and it works its way up to the top, explaining that each one is merames on a toy that comes a scholar for somewhere ahead. Basically, that's what he's saying. It's five is when whatever you see four or five many times, it's connected either to Shem Yudke Vavke is four, or Yudke Vavke with a kites with the little schmitzik in the yud, that's merames on a higher darga. So you have five, maximum five madrigas expressed in the Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and each one speaks a different darga. But Al Kopanim, the chibur of it was the chibur that is shayach to being totally ruchnis. I want to explain something here that I think is very important. People ask, so was Moshe Rabbeinu born perfect? Could Moshe Rabbeinu done averis? I mean, we're saying here he was born, it sounds like perfect, and therefore it doesn't sound like they had a choice. And the answer is no. The fact that a person has an affinity for Ruchnius, without an affinity for Ruchnius, he may not attain that high madrig of Ruchnius while he's alive. So let's say a person is born with a very difficult temperament, and he's naturally prone to being very physical, very coarse, and doing averus, whatever it is. But if he works on himself and he's misgaber on himself and so on, he will have schar and olam haba, he'll be a tremendous person, he'll be a very big tzaddik and so on. That every person is equal. But not every person can be a conduit in this world for nevuah. Now, certainly Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu was only Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, there's a certain what's the right word for it, hachana, in a person's mitzias, that his mitzias could be seivel as a physical being, a ruchniestik, a ruchnies on top of it. Moshe Rabbeinu had that hachana. Moshe Rabbeinu could have misused it or not used it. To some degree, Bilam had that achana, and it was misused. Bilam could not have been a Navi of that Madrega of like Moshe Rabbeinu in a way that would have, that he would be Ro'ui for Nevua of that Madrega had he not been cut out for it. But he misused it, he used it for Ra. That Moshe Rabbeinu was muchen for Toiv is clear. Would he have, did he have to become Toiv? Did he have Bechir? Of course, that also is clear. So all of these things say that Moshe Rabbeinu was muchen for that Ha'ara. I guess just to add one more thing, I think this is before Pesach. So it's a good time to talk about it. Moshe Rabbeinu was born to be the Goyal of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, he was Muchan to be the Goyal of Klal Yisrael. Looking at what are the Tchunos necessary to be the Goyal will give us some understanding of what Geula is. We tend very, whenever we have a Tzara of some sort, enemies, persecutions, afflictions, poverty, this, that, the other thing. So, let's say Mashiach will come, the Gula will come, and so on and so forth. So, we tend to think of Gula as a panacea for problems. If that was true, then Moshe Rabbeinu would be a strong person, a capable person. There was a person here in from the modern Orthodox community here that spoke about Moshe in the way that only those type of people could speak. And he described him as being a poor administrator. He took great issue. Since this person worked for the American government, he was a deputy secretary of something or other, so I assume he has great experience as being an amazing administrator, and he was able to validate Moshe Rabbeinu, give him a low mark as administrator. I'm ashamed that he was speaking from great experience. So somebody told this over to me, and I told him, you know, the problem is not that he spoke against Moshe Rabbeinu. He's saying that Kadosh Baruch Hu was a lousy headhunter, because Kadosh Baruch Hu is the one who chose him as administrator. So if Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't get it right, he shook up one against Rabbi Shlom. He's starting off with not with Moshe Rabbeinu. But okay, but if you understand Geula, like the Rambam says, the Rambam in Mashiach speaks about, he says, Mashiach is the king that will restore Klal Yisrael to its Ruchnis the Katsura. That's what Geula is. That's how the Rambam starts his Parakim on Geula. That's how the Rambam finishes his Parakim on Geula. That Linus Avi Yisrael is now. So we want a person with that capability. If Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah says he's born and he's Toiv, and Toiv means, like he says, Chazal say, he's Muchan for Hashroas Hashchina of we call it this pshat, this the Google be Hashroas Hashchina, then what's the point of it all? If you wanted somebody to be Goyal them, who's a great administrator, who gets the people roused up, who unites the people, who does anything you want, then that wouldn't be the tchuna that you would pick. Since the Torah is describing his birth, not because there's no worship around Moshe Rabbeinu. We don't worship Moshe Rabbeinu. So telling over Sipur Tzadik and Moshe Rabbeinu is not what it's about. It's about telling us what is Moshe. If I understand what the goyal of Klal Yisrael is, I understand what the geula is. So but the first thing we know about Moshe, as soon as he's born, the room fills up with light. He's Mohu. His name is Toiv. He's Toivia. All of these are things that tell me something about his essence. And if I understand his essence, I understand the whole parsha. You know, understanding Moshe, what Moshe is at his core, which means at his birth, is the lens through which to view the entire parsha Geula. Akapanim. So I guess Chakoshim Sameach. Next week I'm going to be out of town. It's going to be difficult, and I'm sure you'll be submerged in Avodas HaPesach. I run away from town, so I'm not submerged in Avodas HaPesach. But Akapanim. So yeah, we'll see after Pesach.